The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Professor Dave Chow is to my left from the College for Creative Studies.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
We are having pleasure to have you here.
Could be worse. Could always be worse.
Pretty robotic.
Yeah, exactly.
So could be worse.
It could be worse. We
could,
like I said,
be worse.
Yeah, we could be broadcasting from Diane's condo right about now.
Wait a second. We have a design guy, so I'm going to say a word, and I want you to give me your first impression of it. Okay.
Okay.
What happens if I say cue line?
I'm thinking Dan Gilbert.
Yeah, that's pretty good. There was a really good political cartoon in the Free Press where a bunch of major Detroit landmarks had Q added to the front.
Q added every,
Cuomo Hall. And
Mind you, that's like a block and a half away from us.
Comerica Park, exactly.
It's way too close right about now.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we all knew that something like this was going to happen.
I want to know what
when they sell the naming rights to the new rail system.
I want to know what the new hockey stadium is going to be called.
That's a good question. I've been saying New Olympia since they announced it. I hope they do. That would be a great name.
No, but there's too much money involved.
Oh, you think?
They're going to sell it.
They're definitely going to sell it.
They have to.
So it's going to be the hot and ready.
Or something.
New Olympia.
I think it might be Amway, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
The DeVos's already have a foothold in this
state. Yeah, they already do.
Comerica gets the money. It should be the city who's bankrolling half of his arena.
Let's not start talking about social justice. And
I'm sorry, did I spoil your fun?
Oh, no.
All right.
Let's not talk about the poor, and let's not get sentimental about the poor.
I just don't know what to think about it when I hear the word Q-line. It sounds like some sort of like medical product.
Like Q-tip or something.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it doesn't really
sound like an off-Broadway play.
It does.
Actually, it sounds like something you put the kite together, then you attach the Q-line to it, and then...
It sounds like a sailing term.
Necessary for a toy.
Absolutely. Part labeled Q. Professor Jason Roach is here as well.
Yep, I'm here.
From the Department of Communication Studies. No, you're doing fine.
All right, great.
How does 3 days plus exams feel to you?
I'm a little worried that my students will not have enough time to complete their assignments, but otherwise I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. There isn't much time left. I got a few blushing faces in our lobby the other day from our seniors. I said, which one of you has the app that counts down the days until commencement? About half of them looked away from me.
I do.
So, apparently, not just students are looking forward to it. Professor James Tubbs is with us today.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
What meeting were you at that didn't have quorum?
It was a College of Liberal Arts and Education shared governance meeting.
Internal governance.
Mm-hmm.
No quorum.
Or lack thereof.
They've never had a quorum.
We have a lot of faculty, and hardly any of them are here on a Friday afternoon.
Oh, I see. I see the issue. But you have to have the meeting to say you had the meeting.
We discussed. We discussed and discussed and discussed.
Quite a bit.
Well,
I was disgusted.
Well, you were discussed, as well as being discussed.
How many faculty have
it? 79.
Oh, my. That will be trouble to get quorum.
That's a problem.
Even if it's just 51%.
You realize you don't need quorum for conducting business.
You just can't vote.
You can do everything as long as somebody doesn't call quorum. The minute somebody calls quorum, it's all over. If you don't call quorum...
Oh, as long as you ignore it and agree to ignore it, it doesn't exist?
This is true Robert's rules, right?
Absolutely.
Wow,
this could change everything.
Our union knows the rules.
Well, that's interesting. I mean,
knows how to throttle people that try to call quorum.
The most important rule of Robert's Rules of Order that everyone needs to know is 1/3 + 1, right?
Right.
Wait a minute, that's math.
Because if you want to close debate on a question, you need a 2/3 majority. If you have 1/3 + 1, you can forestall any action by any institution.
Very interesting.
What?
And that's interesting. That's minority politics. You've got to know it. Yep.
Well, the U.S. Senate has some even more intricate and arcane.
Oh, yeah.
Can't they just thumb wrestle?
Follow Robert's rules, because that would be too logical.
Yeah.
Professor Dan Maggio does not use Robert's rules when he is in the office.
No, I do
which
not.
Is his own home.
Right. I do whatever I want.
Anarchy.
It's an oligarchy within himself.
You need a hat.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't do much business when I'm working, so.
We've learned a lot of Robert's rules already from Professor Prasad Venugopal. We learned a lot about fonts from you the other day.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes.
Does everybody know the Freddy Got Fingered reference?
I think you better bring it up.
Yeah, I don't.
Up.
Okay, so I was criticized for using Comic Sans as a font, universally acknowledged as the world's worst font. But I said I intend to continue using it, and as far as I see, it's the Freddy Got Fingered of fonts. Mm-hmm. And people didn't understand the reference. Well, last week, a young man who was driving his car was pulled over for a broken taillight, I believe, or headlight. Mm-hmm. And the officer came up, and after checking into everything, he said, I'm sorry, sir, I have to inform you that there's a warrant for your arrest because you have not returned a movie, Freddy Got Fingered, for the past 17 years from whatever, Blockbuster or whatever.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
So the joke? No, it's not a joke.
No, it's not a joke.
That's so serious. He was asked to... The officer let him go and said, come into the police station and turn yourself in, which he did. He was arrested, put in handcuffs, and then let go. All of that's booked and everything, let go. And then, I don't know about the handcuffs, but anyway, it was booked and let go. And it went viral when he posted it. And a couple of nights later, he got a call in the middle of the night, and he picked up the phone. And the classic line from Freddy Got Fingered was recited from the other side by none other than Tom Green.
Oh.
Who then promised that he would pay any charges that were due.
Tom Green, the comedian from MTV.
Tom Green, the comedian, and also the star of the one of the worst movies ever made.
Wow. And that man had rented it. He could be the only person who ever watched the movie.
Well, he went back. He said he was going to borrow it and watch it again.
He was going to have trouble finding Blockbuster Video.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or any video store that you could return it to, assuming you mean VHS.
Whatever it was. It was a VHS tape.
Of course it was.
That's right. And they figured that there really wasn't much they could do about it because there's no plaintiffs.
Oh, my word. There's going to be
What saves him is the fact that there's no proof that he actually borrowed it, and it does not exist. The tape does not exist. He has lost it.
Yeah.
This is not habeas corpus of VHS tapes.
Yeah. Show me the body. Mm-hmm.
I see a Law and Order episode materializing somewhere out of this. Professor Heather Hill Vasquez is here with us, too.
Yeah, this is a true story about Freddy Got Fingered.
Yeah,
it was in the New York Times on Sunday.
Yep.
That's how I knew about it.
Could you possibly remember the last VHS tape that you rented, Heather? Does that ring any bells whatsoever?
Wedding video?
No, but I'm going to say something different in connection with this.
Sure.
Many, many, many years ago, when I first knew the esteemed Dr. Mayo, the esteemed Dr. Mayo told me that people like to say that I look like Tom Green.
Yeah, they do. It's true. It's true.
I do not think you look like Tom Green.
Not one bit. Yeah.
I didn't quite know how to phrase that. Look, I'm exhausted. I'm behind on my grading, and I don't remember the last VHS tape I had either.
No, it was a good reference.
Attended the meeting without quorum.
There was a time, I'll be honest, that I watched the Tom Green show and laughed very, very hard. But he hit a high within about 2 minutes after that. And then pretty much everything since that has been downhill, clearly.
Would you say that he jumped a shark or jumped the dead moose?
Probably more of a dead moose.
All right, eating a shark.
Oh, my gosh.
Actually, when I was reading that New York Times article, I was thinking, Matt Mayo.
I don't know what to say about that. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. Send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can tweet at us using @AskTheProfUDM as your handle, or our handle, I should say, or the #AskTheProfUDM on Twitter, or, of course, you can find us on the Facebook. When last we had our heroes together, we were taking a look at some questions from Alan Ira of Woodland Hills, California. Always some great questions from Alan, and these were themed on vegetarianism. We had our ringer, Professor Prasad Venugopal, unabashed vegetarian. What is the term for a type of vegetarianism which includes eating eggs as being okay, but no other dairy?
No other dairy.
Ovo, yeah. Ovo is what it's called, as in eggs okay, basically, from the Latin.
Ovo means eggs okay?
Ovo means eggs. So it's like, if you're an ovo vegetarian, you're just like,
we were both
ovo easy.
A joke.
You know what I mean?
And then there's ovo lacto and et cetera, et cetera.
Ovo lacto.
That might be the next one coming up.
Carno.
It's already on. If you go on a flight and you want to, like a transcontinental flight or international flight, and you want to figure out what meal you want to get, Ovo lacto is one of your choices.
Okay.
Yep. Cool.
Okay.
Along
so
with kosher.
Milk's okay. Yeah.
Yep. Kosher, yep. Absolutely. Hindu.
Halal.
You got a Hindu meal and you got a vegetarian meal.
Mm-hmm.
But you pay more, right?
No.
Nope.
All right.
I want the dinner for 12.
That would be discriminatory.
Yeah. You just don't know how long it's been sitting around because not too many Hindus getting the Hindu meal, so or the ovo lacto stuff.
Which candidate running for president this year is also an unabashed vegetarian?
Bernie Sanders?
No, it wouldn't be. He's a...
Nope.
He's is it Hillary?
Nope. That was my Bernie Sanders.
Is it Trump?
Because her husband is
not
become
Donald
one.
Trump.
It's not Trump.
No.
Ted that Cruz? Leaves,
not Ted Cruz.
Wait, that's the only four. Kasich? When did they write these questions?
Well, these questions were from before people were dropping out.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Ben Carson.
Ben Carson.
Okay, because yes. I was going to say it was clearly not Christie.
No.
Kidding.
He's eaten half of New Jersey.
Your choice was, hey, there could be overweight vegetarians.
Name this candidate that is
he's
a vegetarian.
He's an omnivore.
Yes.
He's a multivore.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, name this.
Because he was from New Jersey, there's no way he could be a vegetarian.
I think that is a safe bet.
Yes. Yeah.
That is a safe bet, yes.
You're blowing my mind here.
Who introduced tofu to the United States? And this would be a little bit premature, I'd say, where we are right now. This country was not yet the United States in 1770. But who brought tofu to this place?
Mr. Tofu?
No, well, one of them has got to be Japan.
Japanese? Yeah. The Chinese.
Benjamin
no,
Franklin.
Actually, we mean who, the and emperor. It's Ben Franklin.
Oh, yeah,
Ben
Franklin. Okay.
The world traveler himself.
Where did he get it?
Also known as Mr. Tofu.
Really?
I mean, in Philly they call him that. They have a Philly tofu steak.
Get
I just made
here.
That.
Oh, darn.
First.
You got it from Marco Polo.
The whole deal was that he...
Trader Joe's.
All right, next question.
I was just thinking, Ben Franklin, like, went to the court, you know, at Paris and whatever, and brought back all these things and, like, bragged about it, even though he was, like, dressed in his underpants and a coonskin cap and, like, in front of the French king.
And cooking with tofu.
Just sort of an odd man.
So he gave us the Constitution, positive and negative, and tofu.
Libraries.
And libraries.
And the fire and the department.
Fire stations. Yeah. And the turkeys.
And
the post office.
And sure, he gave us all of those things, but what has he done for us lately anyway?
He's given us electricity.
Spectacles.
That's true. Bifocals. Mm-hmm. Which city council in 2012 declared all future Mondays in the city are Meatless Monday?
Sacramento.
It's got to be Sacramento.
I'm sorry, it's neither of them.
Darn.
Okay.
It's got to be California?
Sacrafasco is what I heard. So it was very
Portland, Seattle. Oregon.
Not Seattle, not Portland.
Hoboken.
Oh. No.
Those would be my top guesses,
too.
Which
city council in 2012 declared all future Mondays in the city would be Meatless Monday?
Sausalito?
Nothing in Texas.
Definitely not.
Clearly not.
I can help you by trying to narrow it down again to California. Seems to be a running theme today.
San Diego.
Nope.
No.
San
Louis.
San Louis Obispo.
Bakersfield.
It was L.A. Los
what?
Angeles.
LA? What?
Yeah, Meatless Mondays. From a original soul vegetarian blog, 5 interesting facts about vegetarianism.
That cool.
Very interesting stuff. Huh. We'll do some research on the blog. While we take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
The radio program on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors and their guests in a special session of unrehearsed questions and answers. I'm your host, Edwin DeWitt. On my right, from the Department of Religious Studies, the chair of that department, Professor George Pickering.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Pleasure to have you here, as always.
Sure.
And to his far right from the Department of History, right. Professor Greg Sumner.
Yeah, do we get like door prizes or something?
Is that like the radical right?
No, not really. He couldn't accuse Greg of being that at all.
Can we turn in our meal ticket for a door prize?
I don't see why not. Okay. Sure. He's back. Kevin Sajak.
The Lazarus of piano
the
players.
The Lazarus of piano players, yes.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks.
We're glad to have you here. Before we start with our questions from the people out there in Radioland.
Oh, I know it's coming.
We have the producer's questions.
Oh, these are always...
Our producer, Melissa Samuel.
Ungrammatical, historical, all the vices. Go ahead.
What is the last name of the architect who designed the General Motors Tech Center? He also did Cranbrook.
Finn.
Dulles Airport next.
And he designed the first co-ed dorm at the University of Chicago.
Really?
Well,
imagine my surprise in the fall of 1959, coming out of the protected atmosphere of Bates College to a place where they were throwing open co-ed dorms.
Wow.
I mean, at Bates, women were signing in and out in those days. Mm-hmm.
Imagine my surprise in 1968 going to Michigan State University and having a roommate who had all his kilos of marijuana mailed to our room in my name so he wouldn't be arrested.
Very thoughtful man.
It was. I was.
It was a man, wasn't it?
Indeed it was.
And we're back with some great questions by Alan Ira of Woodland Hills, California. Seeing a little bit of a California theme here, bits and pieces over these questions about vegetarianism. Which city in the United States of America has the most per capita vegetarian restaurants?
Portland.
That's Portland, Oregon, and Professor Roach is on a tear. He's en fuego.
You could just keep saying Portland. At some point, it's going to be
right. I said it's about vegetarian.
You're going to hit it. At the time, I should have jumped in.
So I'm getting a strong vibe. It's the Portlandia show that I'm thinking of. I'm not a religious watcher, but there was just a bit on the internet around Facebook this morning where they got their Japanese noodle bowls, and it came with all these accoutrements, and they became very offended. It's like, your job is to cook. We're not going to put this together. Like, that's your job to put our noodle bowl together. It was just it's a real good bit. Like, I feel like we're being made to work. Do we get paid? Is it minimum wage? It's just very funny stuff.
We had that from a friend of ours who used to be the head librarian over at Wayne State. Okay. Invited him for dinner, and he shows up, and it's tacos, right? So he says, what? It's a jip.
I got to put my own dinner together.
Oh, my
gosh. Don't order fajitas either.
Oh, what is that trend that's going around now? Oh, make your own Bloody Marys or the Bloody Mary bars.
Really?
Yeah. Mark and I were at
How difficult is it
a restaurant in Royal Oak. But no, they give you the basics, and then you go and decide what you want to put in it.
Grill?
No, it was Pronto, actually.
Oh, yeah.
They were really good. I didn't have one. Mark did, and I was like...
Of drinks, I guess.
You put bacon in it. They had bacon there. You can put bacon in
and
your
drink?
In your Bloody Mary.
That's awesome.
So now you can go to Easy Like Sunday and make your own ice cream.
You can just
go
put
to
your
Pronto's,
entire breakfast
make your own
in
drink.
There.
Yeah, exactly. You can just eat it for breakfast.
Eggs,
and drink
bacon.
It. No, it was really
and
good.
And your celery stalk.
But I had to go home and grade, so I couldn't really have it.
I think it would have helped your grading.
Yeah, or the students would have loved it.
The students would have loved it. The only Lions game I've ever been to was on a Thanksgiving, and my brother takes me down to the whole sort of joint by Eastern Market where people are doing, you know, eggs and bacon and Bloody Marys just
Vivios.
You know, 6 or 7 in the morning, right? So I'm ordering all mine, just, you know, I didn't do anything specifically like deceptive, like virgin, because I'm like, whatever, you know, this isn't my thing, but I'll drink the tomato juice. So I'm on like my 6th or 7th one. My brother's like, wow, dude, like I had no idea.
You can't really taste
it. And he's all like going into his third, like, you know, I was actually not drinking. It was actually pretty funny. Everybody drunk out of their minds by 10 a.m. We'll have another one of those a week from today when it is a Friday. There's going to be lots of fun had in the city of Detroit.
Oh, boy.
Who said the following quote? If slaughterhouses had glass walls, everyone would be a vegetarian. And here's your hint. It could be either of two people.
Was it an author?
Sinclair Lewis.
Sinclair Lewis.
Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very well-known vegetarians, a husband and wife team.
Yoko Ono?
Paul or Linda McCartney and Professor Roach. You can sit back and smoke a cigar for the rest of this show.
A vegetarian cigar.
You have been on fire today.
Whoa.
Yes, very well done.
Whoa.
But our guess was not bad at all.
I thought it was very good.
Yes. It showed a literate side to
it
us.
It did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yes. Sinclair Lewis. No, that was good.
It was
actually Upton Sinclair that wrote The Jungle.
Yeah, that's right. We were completely wrong with that, too.
I believe everybody at the table would agree with me. Partial credit.
We got the Sinclair part. Right. We got the Sinclair part. It's spelled exactly the same way,
Gosh.
Too.
I had a student just write...
Sinclair Lewis.
I'm thinking of Sinclair Gas Station.
Very good. I had a student write in a lab report last weekend, and I couldn't help myself. I was getting giddy. It had been a very long time, and it was something, instead of the deprotonation... of a hydrogen atom, it was the detonation.
We don't want that.
Maybe he was taking one of Mark Benvenuto's courses.
Yeah, I know. If we can avoid the detonation, that would be
good. I'm not saying nothing. I had to help a student a couple of weeks ago write a paper on Powabic Pod when he forgot one of the vowels in Powabic.
Oh.
I won't say which one, the middle one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can only imagine, I'm like reading this, go, oh, you spelled this wrong.
That's another wonderful Detroit institution.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it
absolutely.
Is.
Powabic pottery. Yep. It's beautiful, beautiful.
Beautiful stuff.
Last question from Al and Ira. These have been absolutely hilarious, well-researched, and this one is actually based on some research. Someone wrote to a friend in a personal letter that's now part of a public collection. Quote, "I've always eaten animal flesh with somewhat of a guilty conscience," unquote.
Mark Twain?
No, but I was going to give you whatever you said. I was just going to say it was right because you'd just been on fire. It wasn't Mark.
Oh, darn.
I'll tell you what.
Ben Roethlisberger.
No. No.
Tommy Maddox. Like
Mark Twain is sort of a quintessential American writer. No question about that. This person was American, but only at the end of his life.
Author?
Not an author. Time John Magazine's Kevin? Most important person of the 20th century, if you can remember that far back.
Einstein?
It was Albert Einstein. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wow. So this gal has made apparently a 20-year research project. Let's see here. Alice Calaprese of reading all of Einstein's personal letters. I think that's fascinating and trying to find trends and what have you. So it's a very well-known one by vegetarians, and now we know it too, thanks to Alan. Thank you very much for those great questions. We'll move on to another pile here. Dear profs, as I listen to your podcast, one of the things I'm always charmed by is the professor's wonderful vocabulary, especially when it comes to answering or responding to questions. Well, the challenge I've come up with is 20 questions based on lingo or industry-specific slang. Hmm. I sincerely hope the professors have as much fun with these as I did doing the research. Regards, and of course, Aviva, Las Vegas, Michelle Horner.
Huh.
We just had some questions from her recently, and Michelle always does a great job putting these things together. Okay, so slang or lingo, word usage. In railroad lingo, what's a bird cage? You probably could define this one and figure it out if you thought about it for a minute. What's a bird cage?
Is it one of the cars that they ship, it has open sides?
It's not a car. It's not a car, it's a device.
The cow catcher?
It's not a cow catcher, although I thought about that.
The lantern? Yeah.
What is a cow?
It's a lantern, actually.
What is a cow catcher?
The thing on the front
that pushes cattle off the tracks.
Yeah. That's the cow catcher.
I didn't know that.
Apparently it is a lantern.
Well, that's lingo too, isn't it?
Yeah, cow catcher. I mean, it probably has some sort of property.
It doesn't really do a lot of catching.
No.
But cow sweeper doesn't sound as well.
It really looks more like a snowplow with holes in it.
Yeah. Honestly, did they actually put that on there because of animals on the track?
Yeah.
Yes.
I just assumed it was for snow.
Yeah, because when they were going out west, it was more buffalo that would get caught on there than cows, frankly. Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen a snowplow in front of a...
Oh, yeah. Like the one at the Henry Ford. It's one of the coolest snowplows.
Yeah,
I remember growing up watching that thing go by.
It was like two stories tall, man. Holy smokes. In diner lingo, now that's a question that we get quite a bit.
Yes.
What's Bronx vanilla? Diner lingo is always super snarky. So
Bronx is always snarly, so it's got to be something horrible.
Spicy vanilla.
Yeah, you're on the right track, guys.
It's not curdled milk.
No.
What, chili paste or something like that?
Really close. It's not a pepper.
Like a seasoning in something.
It's something that's common, but not everybody likes it.
Horseradish?
No. Oh, man, you guys are so close. Here's your hint. My last name ends in a vowel.
What?
I was hoping it wouldn't throw you off. Oh. Professor Maggio's last name ends in a vowel.
And?
Yeah, so.
No, it's...
Wait, what?
I was hoping you'd make the connection to Italian cooking. It's garlic.
I was thinking
what?
Bronx.
Well, you think of Bronx cheer, Bronx. So I knew it was a negative.
But no, I get it.
Okay, got it.
Sorry.
I'm growing garlic, too.
I worked. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's coming
up. How long does garlic take to come up?
I don't know. It's the first time I did
You'll find
it.
Out.
You plant it in the fall.
Are you growing radicchio also?
No, but that would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking. Okay. If we had garlic and radicchio,
maybe I'll live on salad. Maybe I'll have Mark put some in his vegetable garden.
Cool. Well, you can grow that midsummer and fall, too, because it comes up all winter.
Oh, see, I didn't... I don't really do a whole lot of vegetables.
It's pretty cool.
I do the flowers and the herbs, and garlic counts as an herb right now.
In vaudeville lingo, I know we're all well-versed in vaudeville.
Yes, we were all there.
What's a booner?
Can you
spell
it?
Somebody laughs?
I can actually tell you what it's from because it might help you. It's actually in reference to Daniel Boone, the frontiersman.
Get shot down?
Mm-mm.
Carnival barker? Kind of like
first person who comes on stage.
An MC.
Wow, that's actually relatively close. It's not the first person.
The first raccoon that comes on stage?
Get it?
First person wearing a raccoon. No.
Is a Boone or a Western?
It's not a Western. It's a person. It's actually a nickname.
Oh, like the MC?
Nope, not the MC.
The narrator.
Not the narrator.
The scary.
This is something that we don't see that much anymore because we have YouTube to help us find talented people.
Oh, the sound effects guy?
Nope.
Well, like casting a talent
director?
Scout?
Yeah. Not a casting director. It's a scout, basically.
A scout.
Yeah. So when Prasad said, the first person to come on stage, I'm like, almost. We're getting there. Circus lingo. What's a picture gallery? You don't have to think too hard about
this. The audience?
No. That sounds good, though.
I'm thinking about the signage.
Yeah.
I was thinking like the freak show.
Someone in the freak show.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole freak show or somebody specific?
No, a specific performer from the freak show.
The bearded lady?
Child.
No bearded lady.
Picture gallery?
A picture gallery.
What, the blockhead? What else
I'm
is in
sort
the...
of surprised. I thought this one was almost a giveaway. I mean, you're going to look at something.
Yeah,
there's lots of images, right?
What, the geek?
Oh, I won't make you wait a whole week to figure it out. It's actually the tattooed person.
Oh, dumb.
Come on, I see that every week in class.
That's really not a, that's not a freak anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Tattooed and pierced.
The person who's tattooed all over their body is kind of out of the
way. Yeah, that's a basketball player.
No big deal.
Good point. We're sadly at the time where we have to say goodbye, Professor Hill Vasquez.
Happy spring.
Professor Venugopal.
Thank you. And can I say that for those of you at my talk, Cesar Lombroso thought that people who were tattooed were criminally inclined.
Oh,
if you had tattoos, those were criminally inclined.
Well, it is against the Levitical code, you know.
That is true. That is true. Only a professor of religious studies would be able to remind us of that. Professor Maggio.
I'm not offended by your comment.
Take it up with Lombroso.
Professor Tubbs.
Bye.
Professor Roach.
Toodles.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
And now these words from the University of Detroit
to
Mercy.
I want to write the book.
I don't want to just work for the company. I want to own the company.
I don't want to just live in the building. I want to design the building.
To some, those might sound like rather lofty goals. Maybe a little out of reach.
I don't want to drive a sports car. Well, I do. I want to engineer one.
At University of Detroit Mercy, those are the people we want. The big thinkers, the dreamers, because those are the people who make things happen. Great things for themselves and others. And if you're one of them, either just out of high school or ready to transfer, UDM will make it happen for you. Call 1-800-635-5020 today or apply online at www.udmercy.edu. It's not too late.
I don't want to just hope for the cure. I want to discover the cure.
University of Detroit Mercy. We want great things for you.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed for facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed today by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.